You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello and welcome to 21st Century Football, a podcast that is all about celebrating the best of the world's most beautiful game, but only if it happened in the 21st century. On today's show, we are talking about the Premier League's toughest midfielders, one of them at least. It's Roy Keane.
Can you imagine an office environment? It's first day at work, you're rubbish, never make it here. Like, oh, sorry, mate.
He's back at home in a dodgy tracksuit walking a Labrador.
Like, you've not even thrown in big Duncan Ferguson.
It sound right, boy.
Today we've got Adam Brown. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, Will, are you?
Yeah, it's another Man United player, is that all right?
It's fine, it's all right. I was distinct lack of City players so far, but you know what, we'll go with it.
We will
small
get there.
Club. Yeah, we might touch on City a bit later on.
Shut your mouth, Statman Dave.
I didn't say anything.
You did, I heard you.
It must have been the rafters or something knocking around.
I'm like an owl, me, mate. I'm on a swivel, I'll get you. And we'll kick off today's episode like we'll do every episode. I'll delve into the Wikipedia and we'll just, you know, dissect this Wikipedia. We know Roy Keane inside and out, but did you know he was born on the 10th of August 1971 and he's an Irish footballer? He says he's an Irish football manager and a former professional player. Now,
Instagram star, Twitter sensation.
Yeah,
pundit extraordinaire.
I was just thinking though, Dave, we've also got to factor that into this episode as well, haven't we, Adam? His managerial career.
It's definitely an element of him, certainly in the last 20 years.
And the punditry as well.
Yeah, you know, it all goes to, you know, making the man who he's become, really.
Well, I'm going to be very strict today because this is 21st century football. So I know Dave's absolutely frothing at the mouth to talk about 99 Turin, but I will be banning that. He is the
greatest individual performance from a central midfielder in European Cup history.
Stop.
And we have to ban it because of time.
Stop it.
We have to ban it because of time.
He is the joint most successful Irish footballer of all time, having won 19 major trophies, 17 which came at Manchester United in his club career. He served as assistant manager to the Republic of Ireland team from 2013 to 2018, regarded as one of the best midfielders of his generation. In 2004, Keane was named by Pele in the FIFA 100 list of the world's greatest living players. Stop it, dissect it. Where'd you stand on that?
On the Pele thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Elad Stuf was on that list as well. So it genuinely was. I remember when that list got released. So, you know, I'm not going to use that as any kind of great marker, you know, to big Keane up at all. I do think he should be on a list of greatest players, by the way, because he was phenomenal. Bit different to perhaps a lot of other players that we'll look at on this podcast, in the sense that he's never going to be a numbers guy. Do you know what I mean? That's not his game. But in terms of sheer, you know, inspiration that he gave the teammates and influence that he had on people, unbelievable. Unbelievable yeah. player.
Because normally when we sit down for these episodes, we get a top 10 goals or a top 10 yeah, bit of skills.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you're not going to go, oh, he scored 20 goals, that's it. It's more, with Keane, it's more what he brought to the team. And also, you know, saying this as a Man City fan, what he brought to the club of Man United.
Yeah.
You know, often people refer to him as being, you know, the manager on the pitch almost, and an extension of that Ferguson mentality. We'll probably get into this a little bit more later on, but it was almost the fear that he instilled in people, as well as, you know, that kind of made him inspirational, didn't it, really, to his teammates. But yeah, what a player, what a player.
In 2007, the Times placed him at number 11 in their list of 50 hardest footballers in history.
11th? Are they idiots?
Can you name 10 more quickly?
Absolutely not. No, he's number one. Who in their right mind would think he's not? Would you say? Would you give him the award? Would you say, well done, Roy, you are the 11th best or the 11th hardest footballer of all time?
I'll probably go Kenny Cunningham number one, but that's just me.
Like, you've not even thrown in big Duncan Ferguson. But Roy Keane could have Duncan Ferguson 1v1.
If they had some sort of UFC style tournament just to sort of see once and for all, but he's just based on who tackles the hardest normally or who's got, you know, a short fuse. Keane's got to be up there though.
There's different types, isn't there? Like you said, they're short fuse, hardest. Like Duncan Ferguson to me, more scary.
Yeah, well, tall, got the range, but got the headbutt in him.
That's enough. Glaswegian
kiss.
I think Ferguson's had enough airtime there. His 18-year playing career, Keane played for both Nottingham Forest, Manchester United before ending his career at Celtic. Keane played at international level. I'm sure we'll get into that, as he was sent home in 2002 after a dispute with national coach Mick McCarthy over the team's training facilities. Dave, apart from the big crunching tackles, do people forget how influential he was?
I think so, yeah. I think we look at him in moments, and obviously we can't mention 99, but how influential he was in that semi-final was big.
We can't mention
but that. But we kind of forget that the drive and the football at that point was very much 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Very much 4-4-2, two midfielders that would go both ways and would attack and would defend, and that encapsulated Roy Keane. You know, at the moment, football's a little bit different where you have players that have different characteristics that fit different styles. But Roy Keane, more of that energetic player that would break into the box, that would play something like next to a Paul Scholes, that would play next to a Nicky Butt. And it would take different roles in those sides, playing next to Paul Scholes, maybe being a little bit more defensively minded, allowing Scholes to get on the ball, get into the box. But as well, you know, we consider United's sort of performances in Europe after 99. You take the 2001-2002 where they lost to Leverkusen in the semi-final. A great performance from Roy Keane, but didn't play in that first leg. Was that one of Ferguson's mistakes? Played in the second leg, they drew 1-1 away at Leverkusen, grabbed a great goal, breaking into the box. What you kind of remember with Roy Keane, they're not the most beautiful goals in the in the world, but it is that kind of drive from midfield, little touch in the penalty area, good finish. And I think the thing that you get with Roy Keane in those moments is technically he's going to be good. You know, the standards that he set for Manchester United was so important that players were almost in fear of giving him the ball and not giving him the ball in the right pace, you know, with the right tempo on the pass. And I think that elevates the club, that elevates the standards. Obviously Ferguson's standards were massively high, but on the pitch, if you gave Roy a bad pass, he's gonna go for you. As much as he goes for the opposition, puts big challenges in, big tackles in, again, 99 Edgar Davids, some great parts there, obviously we can't speak about that, but those type of tempo setting tackles elevates the side, lifts the crowd, lifts his teammates, and that's the impact of Roy Keane, those types of moves.
Do you know what? I think he was actually potentially technically quite underrated.
Very much underrated.
Because like Dave said there, you know, if he's got that kind of mentality of people are scared to make mistakes, he's got to make sure that what he's doing is perfect.
Yeah.
Do you know, if he's like saying to Paul Scholes and, you know, Giggs, Beckham, all the players that he played with, listen, don't hit me a bad pass. He can't then hit a bad pass because then he's like, well, you know, practice what you preach, mate. So for him to actually hold his own and be just as good technically as those other players in what is probably the best midfield that probably in Premier League history, let's be honest, of those four.
And in European Cup, yeah, actually, but can't mention it.
You know, but those four as a midfield four, for Keane, he's, you know, people often overlook his passing ability, or you know, they'll talk about Scholes as being the great passer and Beckham had this great, you know, delivery, Giggs was great dribbling. You know,
Keane, into a midfield with a team with Veron as well. You know, we mentioned all the great players that we remember, but Veron was a very good player.
But Keane was never the one that was going to drop out.
No.
Ever. Like, he was definitely first name on the team sheet, really, wasn't he, throughout the whole, you know, for years at United. And you just look at the success that he kind of brought with him in terms of, like you say, elevating everyone. There's not many players around now who can do that.
You'd,
really.
You'd say Bruno Fernandes has had a similar impact of standards at Manchester United, where if...
What's in the elevation?
In terms of like doing things wrong, you know, making the wrong movement off the ball, putting the pass in the wrong area, you can see Bruno Fernandes gets wound up about that.
Got you.
But that's very much in the ilk of Roy Keane that, like we sort of mentioned, the standards have got to be right. Like, if you're a centre-forward playing in front of Roy Keane and you miss a chance on goal, he's going to hammer you. So it makes you better as a player. You've got to achieve as well as Roy's got to achieve. And I think that is the impact on Manchester United and the almost the change in culture that we're seeing with Bruno Fernandes. It's standards. And it's very difficult to get that. You know, we speak a lot about recruitment, how you sign players that score goals, that are fancy and do tricks. But having that kind of mentality is so, so important. And I feel that we lack that in some of these young players that are coming through that maybe want to be more technically gifted midfielders, that we haven't got that edge that we previously had.
But they also, the ones that are more like, you know, technically gifted, so to speak, they get a lot more of the limelight. And, you know, if they do something that's a little bit of, you know, a bit of trickery or, a great pass, a back heel, whatever, a feint, then they're going to get the attention. But, you know, I always think that Roy Keane just dictated games, the pace of games, and not necessarily through his passing, but just the way he would drive, you know, he would put the pressure on the opposition players, which means they couldn't get the ball away quick enough. And I've never seen a midfielder dictate. You know, if he played well, the chances are United are going to win the game. Mm. I always think with Keane, you know, and he very rarely had a bad game, very rarely. And he was the first to admit it. If he did, he kind of owned up to it. But I think in terms of those midfield players that you see dictating games, it's very rare you get a player like that. But you look at those in, you know, 21st century, those teams that were successful, and you had like a Keane, a Vieira, Gerrard. They always came from midfield, and he for United, you know, inarguably what is United's most successful era, he was the midfield talisman, if you will, you know, in terms of not the goal scoring, but dictating the game.
Just on that goal scoring, got to sneak it in the 99-2000 season. So
when was the majority of the goals?
6 goals in 12 Champions League games. So he had impact from midfield. No, 6 goals in the Champions League is a good record for a goal scorer, for an Mbappe, for a striker. So considering that was from central midfield, something we've got to mention. And those dominant years, Roy Keane was at the heart of that.
Yeah.
Sneaked it in.
Let's get into the stats. Keane is the most successful captain in Manchester United's history with nine honours in 8 years as skipper of the side. So where do we rank him in terms of Premier League greats?
In terms of central midfielders?
No.
In terms of overall?
Is he the greatest Premier League player of the 21st century?
Well, I don't think you can say that because of that we judge people on goals in terms of greatness. You know, who's the greatest Premier League player of all time? Either Thierry Henry or Cristiano Ronaldo? Because they had impact in such big games. Because they scored goals. But I think in terms of central midfielders, Keane is 100% up there with Paul Scholes, with Frank Lampard, with Steven Gerrard, Vieira.
If you're saying, you know, United are the most successful team of the last 20 years, you know, in terms of trophies that they've won, right? In 21st century, United are probably going to be considered to be, you know, the best team of that era.
Yeah.
And he was the captain for the majority of that, you know.
Speaks for itself.
Yeah, he's got to be right up there for me. He's right, but again, I agree with what Dave says. He doesn't get the plaudits because people are obsessed with goals. You look at like a Lampard and people going about a great goal scoring midfield player, but it's not all about that, is it?
No.
Because he needs
passion.
Someone, yeah, he needs someone and allow him to go and score the goals. So, you know, Keane was very much the almost the unsung hero of those United teams in a lot of ways, where because his consistency was so good and his levels were so good, he was never questioned. It was just like, oh, Roy Keane, of course he'll do it. He'll win the ball back. He'll inspire the team. So it was never like, oh, if Keane could have played well this week. He was just of course he was going to.
Before the episode started, Ad, we watched the video that you provided of some crunching tackles, which, you know, we talk about maybe him being underrated, but maybe it's more sort of...
I think the era suited him. I think VAR right now, Roy Keane is getting a few red cards more than he did get at Manchester United.
Well, yeah, I mean, we watched that video. What do you make of it? Because like you say, I mean, listen, how many of them tackles would go through now?
You've got to play the card you dealt with, though, innit? So he was in that era. He could do it, and he did it well.
Do you think some people like, there's that always that question, like, again, it's like a romanticising thing where people always say, like, oh, there's not enough Roy Keanes around these days in terms of players.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You couldn't have him.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't function now.
I think he'd function within a certain setup. Like, you could see Roy Keane playing for Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid, easy.
Yeah, but he would have to scale it back a bit.
I think he fits into a certain philosophy and style now, whereas before it was kind of, you know, a little bit more of a, not a less complicated game, but it was more like standard within teams played, you know, one of two or three ways, whereas now we're seeing a lot of philosophy, you know, different philosophies and styles. Like, would Roy Keane play for Pep's Barcelona with Xavi and Iniesta and Busquets? Probably not. But would he play for a counter-attacking United in 2008? Probably yes.
But also, as well, is that the great thing about the last 21st century football is that you had these great midfield battles. You know, you're never going to have another Keane Vieira. Like, you know, think about midfield battles in the Premier League now.
Rodri versus Fabinho doesn't really get the
he's
same.
He's not got the same ring to it, has it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, like
Dave's looking a bit perky. Actually,
no, but do you know what I mean? It's not. You know, it's not got the same fireworks, the same passion. It's just. I mean, you know. You could argue that, oh, you know, if it was 20 years ago, maybe they could fly into the tackles a little bit more. But there was something about that era, and particularly Keane, where, you know, you're looking for certain fixtures. I imagine Dave, as a United fan, you're thinking, oh, God, usually Arsenal, Liverpool coming up. You think, all right, Keane versus Gerrard, it's Keane versus Vieira. We're going to get something happening in this game. You know, you're always going to get, there's going to be a talking point.
But did he overstep the mark at all, Dave? David?
Not in the era. Now, 100%. We saw a few tackles in that video where he's basically kicking through the back of a player that would be a red card in this day. But it suited what the football was about, you know, at that point. It was you had to win that midfield battle.
Yeah. Well, just on that, Dave, I believe you've got a quote that sort of sums this man up, this
hero for many Manchester United fans.
Your words,
excuse
not mine.
My French. I'd waited long enough. I'm fucking hitting him hard. The ball was there, I think. Take that, you... and don't ever stand over me sneering about fake injuries.
So that was about his tackle on Haaland. Not junior, senior.
Some colourful language, to say the least.
Now, he ended a man's career. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Did he come back after that?
No, not really. No, he stayed at City for a... throughout, obviously, his rehabilitation, and they were talking of him coming back. But other than, I think, maybe a couple of reserve game runouts, I don't think he ever made another appearance.
So, how do we factor that into this, Dave? You're United.
That is too much, isn't it?
Yeah,
come on.
What do you mean too? Of course, it's too much. Ended a man's career.
Yeah, but I mean, does that?
What are you sticking up for him then?
Well, you know what? Lots of players have done that. Pele, the great Pele, when he used to get kicked a lot, he flipped. And I think there was a German centre-back that he ended his career with a horrible tackle. These things happen. It boils over sometimes.
Do you know what it is? But I think it's the premeditated element of it. Do you know what I mean?
Amen, brother.
Well, you think to yourself, you know what? If it was Roy Keane flying into a tackle and he's trying to win the ball, and, you know, I've got no issue with that because that's the type of player he is. And I think
take the ball and leave a little bit.
Yeah, because he's going to hit you hard, and that's the kind of player that he was. And, you know, you expect that when Keane's on the pitch. But I think the premeditated element of it, I mean, I'm not saying it diminishes his, you know, kind of credentials as an iconic player of the 21st century, but it's something a little
sour taste.
Yeah, a little bit. I get it because he was out for a long time himself of an injury, wasn't he? And I get the whole thing of you want to get someone back and all that. And that's very much his mentality, and it
mantra,
really, yeah, no one, yeah, he's not gonna let you get away with it, but he overstepped the mark, and I just think that it's a little bit
we've got to bring it up, haven't we? We couldn't leave,
yeah.
Also, I wanted to bring up as well, if we're talking 21st century Roy Keane, managerial career, got promoted with Sunderland, took over them. I think they were bottom of the Championship. I remember being at St Andrews on a cold Tuesday night and seeing Carlos Edwards run the show in a promotion winning Sunderland side. And then he went to Ipswich as well, I believe.
Did Keane take him to Ipswich, maybe? Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, we could do 20 minutes on Carlos Edwards. What a tricky winger. And then now, he's sort of softening a little bit thanks to Micah Richards. As a little bit of not a teddy bear, because he's still got that bite in him, but, you know, we're sort of seeing a different side to Roy Keane, aren't we?
I think so, yeah. You know, there was always the hard exterior, which always seemed to be, you know, he wouldn't join in with things. It was much like business. He's always switched on. It's, you know, there's no time for jokes, no laughing. But now he seems to have mellowed a little bit. I think he might have unfinished business with managing. I've heard him say that he might want another go at some point. I don't know if his management style is necessarily going to work modern day.
Maybe working with like Micah might have, you know.
Maybe. I just think that...
But look, Micah's the type of guy that could have solved the Cuban Missile Crisis with his laughter and his fun. You know, when you work with him, yeah, he's incredible. So like, you can understand why Keane is a little bit more chilled.
Yeah, it's the sort of duo that we didn't know we wanted, but now we've got it.
But I mean, he started his career when he started off, you know, when he was Sunderland manager, he started off really well.
Yeah.
He looked like he was... the mentality he was bringing, it was very much the kind of player that he was. It was kind of going into the teams that he was putting out there, and the battle, you know, the kind of mentality that his teams had seemed to reflect his personality, which was, it was exciting at the time. I thought, oh, maybe he's got something here.
I don't think it'd work at the moment. I don't think his style and the football that he played as a player and wouldn't quite work now. But also in terms of the best managers that we're seeing, they're more like arm around the shoulder, inspiring young players, Jurgen Klopp type style. That is a little bit more of a different approach.
You know what he'd need? He'd need a Vilsen, Mike Bassett, England manager. He'd need assistant manager that was Bradley Walsh.
He needs a Bradley Walsh kind of figure. Yeah.
He's not happy in there. You've got to calm down a little bit. I just need someone to do like the, be the clock.
So basically he just needs Micah Richards then, as a duo.
Yeah. I think that could work, you know. Could we see that as in the managerial dugout?
No.
No?
I mean, they're too good for TV.
Don't be so dismissive, Dave.
I think they're too good for TV.
A red and a blue as well, so I just thought of that together.
You're listening to 21st Century Football. We're going to take a little ad break. We'll be back after this.
Over the centuries, the world's greatest wordsmiths have crafted the most beautiful sentences ever written. Shakespeare.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Austin.
There is no charm equal to tenderness of heart.
And Jermaine Pennant.
I pulled two birds and I went home, which is nearly a proverb.
Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club podcast, the only book club that's less Charles Dickens, more Paul Dickoff. And you can listen to our brand new series right now by searching Football Book Club wherever you get your podcasts.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Acast recommends podcasts we love.
If you are looking for a brand new true crime podcast, listen to The Making of a Detective, brought to you by The Irish Sun. The series is out right now and focuses on many of Ireland's most notorious cases and the man who once solved them. In episode 1, Pat Murray's story begins with the historic 2007 conviction of the murderer Joe O'Reilly.
Put his thumb up and he said, "I see you, Pat," like, you know, as if to say, "F you, you can't get me."
Follow along as we share the dramatic details of each case. Download The Making of a Detective.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the critically acclaimed West Cork and the one you're listening to right now.
You know, we're talking about his disciplinary kind of
yeah.
problems, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and the premeditated nature of the Haaland tackle. Where do you think he is?
Hold on a second. Disciplinary problems.
Yeah, well, here we
let
go.
Let me just adhere to the statistics. Roy Keane was booked 69 times in his Premier League career and sent off just 7 times. What disciplinary problems?
That's still quite a lot.
What, 7
well,
times?
Well, okay.
7 times?
I'll tell you what as well. I've got a list
7
here.
Times in, hold on. Hold the phone. In 326 games. Do you want me to work that as a percentage for you, gentlemen?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
yeah, I'll dive in. I'll dive in, guys. Give
no,
me
no phone.
Give me a calculator. What? Give me a calculator.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hit him back with some stats for me own, Will.
Go on, Ad.
So he was sent off in 0.3% amount of games in the Premier League. So, you know, miss.
Okay, all right. Disciplinary problems might be the wrong way of putting it, but certainly someone who, you know, has seen a couple of red cards in his time. Got a list here of the all-time red cards given in the Premier League.
Got you.
Okay, so a lot of these players were, by and large, large percent of the career were in the 21st century. Where do you think Keane is on that list?
Definitely top 20. I'd say 13th,
fourth. So maybe they just Richard Dunn's right at the top.
Yeah,
I feel like Richard Dunn's not dirty, just clumsy.
Yeah. Vieira, Ferguson, Keane. So and then Lee Catamol.
See, I talk about Ferguson.
But
I was right.
But would you say? I mean, you know, would you say that the likes of those players that are around him on that list have got disciplinary problems, or that had disciplinary problems. I mean, I say Keane probably has probably played more games.
Misunderstood
than a lot of
individuals.
Misunderstood.
I'd say more anger issues. Yeah. What I mean.
I mean,
something going on there.
Or would you say it was just the desire to win? I don't know. I mean, you could spin it in.
That's
in
the nice way of putting it. Yeah, that's the PR angle.
But do you think that, for you, Dave, as a United fan especially, do you think that takes away from him being spoken about as a top level player? Because could you depend on him to not get a red card in or two yellow cards in the semi final of a European competition in a different era?
You know? I think he didn't get sent off as much as he would have done now. But it kind of brings on to my kind of iconic moment. In the 20th century, you know,
21st century.
Oh, sorry.
Did you see, try to slip that in there, Will?
We've only been here for.
I tried it. I was about to say Turin 99, two headers from the corner. Man United 3, Juventus 2.
Talking
one of the
Millennium Bug in a minute.
We spoke about the Champions League before. Leverkusen, that performance was great away from home. Missed the first leg potentially because he was on that yellow card. Ferguson didn't want to risk him missing the final.
Is that because of disciplinary problems?
Probably, yeah.
But I'd go back to the best sort of moment. It's got to be the Keane Vieira. Highbury Tunnel incident, that was absolutely brilliant. It pans to Roy Keane screaming at Vieira, "We'll see out there," in an aggressive Irish tone. And of course, you know, we've kind
what
of
did it sound like?
Do I want to get knocked out by Roy Keane? I've been close to Roy Keane at certain moments this year.
Actually,
yes.
Have you met Roy Keane?
Not met Roy Keane, but I've been behind some glass in the studio, and he's been in the BT studio, which is outside. So yeah, the Sky studio. There is a. You know, he could come and fight me. So obviously, don't.
Were
want
you
to be
meant to be
there?
This sounds like you weren't meant to.
No, I was doing my job, Will.
Sorry,
I'm doing my job. Come on. But in terms of the reason why this flashpoint was, of course, Vieira giving it the biggie, shouting down the tunnel, Neville, you're not going to kick our players out on the pitch today. Which Roy flipped.
It was about Reyes, wasn't
he? He really flipped. He thought he was bullying Gary. And that was where it went from. You know, he just lost his head. They treated that game as a bit of a boxing match. You remember those clashes between Man United and Arsenal? They would always try and kick them off the ball. That was the strategy going into the game. The result of that game, of course, Man United 4, Arsenal 2. Cristiano Ronaldo brace.
Is that the John O'Shea?
That's the John O'Shea chip.
That's
great moments. But well, I mean, Roy Keane, obviously, protecting his teammates, setting a standard early doors, and getting in the Arsenal players' heads, which again was a top of the table clash.
Here's a good one in terms of 21st century footballers. If you were playing in a team, surely Roy Keane is probably top of the list, if not certainly top three of players you want alongside you.
You know what it is as well? It's like the standard he sets for like new signings as well coming in. I mean, I can't imagine he's the warmest of characters. He's not going to be demanding the initiation song, but I think he sort of sets.
There's countless examples of United doing the box drill, which is kind of the Rondo type drill, passing around in a circle. And there's loads of examples of him, you know, destroying new signings. You're not good enough. You'll never make it here. You're absolute rubbish, which does keep the standards up because it means that you've got to go to training and you've got to perform. And that's a big thing. You know, we
imagine that a cold sweat.
I'm not even playing.
Can you imagine an office environment? It's first day at work, you're rubbish, never make it here. Like, oh, sorry, mate.
Oh, that's what we do.
Oh, is that what you
I've only done coffees. You're rubbish, you'll never make it here. Ad, what's your most iconic moment of Roy Keane?
Well, there's a couple. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily focus on him from a technical standpoint. I was looking to say the Haaland challenge at first. It was a cross one between that and also when he was spooked that Kieran Gibbs was captain in that Arsenal side. Do you remember that? When he was it was a moment, his punditry, it was brilliant. I think he was on ITV at the time. He'd not been doing it that long, and Arsenal were might have been a Champions League game, and they had a lot of injuries. They were playing a lot of kind of second string, and Kieran Gibbs was captain that day, and he said, "I saw Gibbs as captain, you're in trouble." And it was just for me, it's the moments of punditry. I think the kind of cynicism sometimes is a great bit of
the
kind
digs,
of
digs, but not digs, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it's quite refreshing, really, because a lot of time punditry, you get people being really exuberant and, you know, really, you know, nice about players, and sometimes he just tells it as it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, it probably would be the Haaland challenge, especially as a City fan. That's one thing that
can't get out your
it
head.
Really does stick in my mind, unfortunately.
That's fair enough. Mine is him walking his Labrador after being kicked out of the Irish team, just because they went on to do so well in that World Cup, and he wasn't a part of it. I mean, you think that Irish side, your Givens, your Duns, your Matt Holland.
He motivated them. They knew if they were coming back to Ireland after that and Roy had seen some bad performances in that tournament, they were getting done.
But this ties into what we talk about. He got kicked out because he was complaining about the training facilities, which obviously is his high standards. But then he misses out on a World Cup, one of Republic of Ireland's greatest moments, definitely in the 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's back at home in a dodgy tracksuit walking a Labrador. I think it's a Labrador.
It was also a story of someone asking for a photo with him whilst walking his dog.
Oh, go on.
And he absolutely exploded.
You wouldn't do that anyway, would you?
You've got to be absolutely crazy to go up to Roy. Can we have a selfie, please? Are you mad?
But it goes
get your own kicked in.
But I think Clinton Morrison tells the story of when it all kicked off, and it obviously had been brewing and brewing. And then Roy Keane said to Mick McCarthy, "You're not even Irish." And obviously Clinton was sat there himself. He put his head down in his dinner and just sort of carried on. But I think those two, you could imagine, and
proper punch.
I bet he doesn't regret it though. I can imagine just be like, "No,
I
was right."
Do you think he does regret it? But wouldn't admit he regretted it?
No, I don't think he would. I think he'd just be like, "Listen, he's such a headstrong character that he'd be like, no, that you know." And even if he'd be like, "I made that decision at the time, and that's it. I'm happy with it." I don't think he'd change anything, me. I can imagine just be like, "Well, nothing can do about it now. That happened, and that was what I felt was right."
Maybe you let Carlos Edwards go.
Or
to
a bit of a quote on playing for Ireland. "I love playing for my country, but my sanity is more important."
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, especially like international football, you forget the toll as well, especially if he's Saturday, Wednesday going to Europe and then it's international breaks are going an island.
I don't think he would have mourned about that. That was just the nature of football, wasn't it? He was fine for that, but I think it's the standards that maybe was one of the big things why he was such a good player, that his standards were high and mentally having poor pitches, not having the right facilities.
Well, you go from Paul Scholes to having Matt Holland. And Matt Holland, great Premier League player, but he's not Paul Scholes. It's now time, gentlemen, to rate Roy Keane. Obviously, it's not your traditional sort of on-the-pitch rating because that speaks for itself and we have done at length. But would we like to go for a drink with him? Would we have him on our five-a-side team? And just how iconic was he? So let's start with the pub, Adam. I'll start with you.
Do you know what?
Would you like to go for a drink?
I would. I think that these, you know, seeing as more of his punditry, and especially since I feel like he's quite of a shell a little bit more, and he's up for more of a laugh. I think he's got quite a dry sense of humour from what I can see. You know, I think that and you see all the players talking about him, and they all say he's really funny. They all say he's a really, really funny bloke. So I think that, I think he'd probably be quite suspicious of me at first. I think he'd be like, "What's going on with your bun in your hair?" And, you know, fall in line a little bit with me, a little bit more, and, you know, we'll have a couple of beers. But I'd love to go for a beer with him. I think he'd actually be a lot more of a laugh than people would think as well. I'm going to say 8 out of 10.
Love that. What about you, Dave?
I'd probably go with a 10. I think there's more to the man. And I want to get in, you know, get inside that little hard-out exterior. You know, understand him a bit more.
Yeah.
Talk to him about the 21st century football that he's been involved with. Nothing on 99, because that's what I wouldn't want to talk about, right?
No, never mentioned that.
Well, I think if you got to the pub with him, I would let you talk about 99.
Okay, so definitely a 10 then.
Yeah, because that would be quite weird if you sat down for a beer with Roy Keane and Will's behind you going, "Don't mention 99.
Roy, what about...
Shut your mouth, Dave.
I'd go for an 8 as well. I think, like you said, I've warmed to him a lot more since he's been doing his punditry, and I think I'd just be a bit geeky and want to quiz him on his Sunderland managerial career in the Championship. But that's just me. Let's go to five-a-side team. Would you like to have him in there, Ad?
Yes, 100%. I'm going to say 10 out of 10 for a five-a-side team.
Wow.
I said before, for me, if I'm going into... I'm about to say going into battle. five-a-side team. Sometimes it is. You know, if I'm going into anything competitive... And you're saying, "Who do you want with you?" Roy Keane, 100%. I don't think he's a player that I'd want more in my team than him. Because I know that he's going to lift everyone, probably lift my performance as well in a way.
And you know, if it was, you know, say it was a league scenario and say you'd played against another team and you didn't like someone, you could go, "Keane, that's the one that's given me a bit. All right, now I'll be having him there."
Exactly.
Don't you worry now, Adam. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You follow me now.
Where's he from? Good God.
10 out of 10. And also, just to sort of go back, let's not discredit his technical ability. You know, great passer of the ball.
Lovely low driver.
That's goals, that, in five-a-side.
Love that. What about you, Dan?
I think for me, it raises the standards. I think he'd make me a better player. I think I'd, you know, it'd be horrible at the start, but I think I would be a better player and a better man after playing five-a-side.
Better man as well.
Yeah, with Roy Keane. So I'm going to give it a 10 as well.
You'd come out there with better morals at the end of it.
Yeah, I'd just be a better human being. Yeah.
What really? Are you saying? Well, do you want to be the one to not give Roy Keane full marks as a five-a-side player?
You know what? I was just trying to think of ways to mark him down.
Well, imagine you play against him in five-a-side.
Yeah, but that's not the criteria. He's playing with us.
But five-a-side is with your mates. You get, you know, you flip a coin and Roy's on the other team. What do you do?
I'll get 10. Just, I really like conforming and I don't want to sort of stray away from the crowd.
What if you've not got a designated goalie? Do you think he'd just jump in net for like, you know?
No, I think he's not playing outfield. He's not playing outfield.
It'd be like, you know when it's like everyone's had the turn, it's like, all right, who's not been in goal? You know it's him.
It's him.
Like,
yeah.
Little look.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go back in.
It's fine. Everyone's been in then after, just double checking. We've all done a bit. Yeah.
I don't mind, honestly.
Soft.
I've been in 3 times. Fine. Right, iconic moments. Is he an iconic player of the 21st century? PFA player 2000? Champions League semi-finalist against Bayer Leverkusen? Not in a World Cup.
What is annoying is that we can't speak about 99.
We can't.
It's infuriating.
Remarkably, we have done a lot.
That's a 10. It's a 10 if 99's involved.
But it's not, is it?
It's not, Dave.
Devastating.
I hate you.
And I think to many people, if they saw 21st century football, Roy Keane, immediately they'd say,
he just played for Celtic in the 21st century. But 5 years at Man United.
Exactly, Dave. So what are you giving him out of 10?
League titles in 2000, 2001, 2003. That is more than Liverpool have managed in their entire history.
Good God.
Clipboard's gone.
£2.50 for them clipboards, Dave. I've a bit of respect.
I'm just getting riled up. But I'm thinking about the five-a-side of Roy. You know, in a dressing room pre-game, you've got to be like,
well, this is what it instilled in someone like Dave. If he was playing five-a-side,
I'm losing my...
And this is before Roy's even here. Do you know, if Roy was here now, the couch would be flipped and everything.
He'd be nervous. He gives this now, he'd be nervous.
No, I think I'd have to step up to the plate.
Okay, but...
No nerves.
In terms of iconic player for the 21st century, you listed off some great Premier League titles. There's fantastic players that have not even won the Premier League.
There is. What's frustrating is that United didn't win the European Cup again with Roy Keane, because they should have done.
Mm. Okay. Come on. I'm going to have to push you.
Can you do Adam first?
No, I'm doing you. Sorry, Ad. This is between me and Dave right now.
I'm going to give it a 9. It'd be a 10 if they won the Champions League.
You slug.
Do you know what? The only reason I would have gone really high, because obviously I've given high praise for him throughout this podcast in terms of his, you know, influence on the other players around him and Man United in general. Mm-hmm. But because he left to go to Celtic in, was it 2005-ish? We've, you know, these 5 years there where...
He did play a season at centre-half because Rio Ferdinand had a bit of a problem as well.
Yeah, so I feel like again, you know, his better years were 99 and the start of the 21st century. So I think that he's missed a couple of years there just because of age and then leaving United. So
basically, it's not your fault, it's the topic's fault, you know, it's the podcast's fault.
Kind of, in a
yeah,
way.
I agree. I've been trying to talk about 99 for pretty much the whole goddamn episode.
I keep getting this look.
I'm going to say 8 or 10, Will, 8.
8.
Yeah, it would have been more if it have. I've got no doubt that if he'd have played longer at United or he was a couple of years younger, then it'd have been, you know, 9, possibly even pushing to 10 because of his influence, but 8 I'm going for.
I'm going to start at 10 and then work my way back. Didn't win Champions League, 9. Was assistant manager at Aston Villa, 8.
Isn't a manager anymore? No, a pundit. Is that a minus point?
No.
What kind of dogs he got? Was it Labrador?
I think
you're more
was.
Of an Alsatian man, aren't you, as well? So that's a point off.
7.
True, yeah. 1, I think. No. I'll go for 7. But with the criteria that we've said, 99. Let me do the sums.
I think it's a good score.
So out of 90, he scored 80.
I still can't believe you did the dirty on Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, Jesus.
Let's not deny it, boys. There's an element here that we are scared of getting knocked out as well. So there's an element of that in there, which gives him a couple of extra points.
But, you know, we've encapsulated everything of this 21st century. His playing career, his managerial
career.
Whether
he's decent with a pint.
Yeah.
Five-a-side rating.
That's, you know, maybe people will see the headlines and see Roy Keane is better than Cristiano Ronaldo. But... there's much more to factor into this, isn't there?
Yeah, it's not just a numbers game.
No, exactly. And that's exactly what we bring to you on 21st Century Football, isn't it, Dave?
Absolutely.
And I think that is the perfect place to end it. And there we have it. That is the Roy Keane episode. It's complete. And we've got to chat about one of the finest footballers of the 21st century. Thank you to Adam Brown.
Cheers, Will.
Wasn't too painful for you, was it?
No, I enjoyed that, even though, you know, the I can't get that image of Haaland being scythed down by Roy Keane out of my mind, but you know what, I'll cope.
And we'll chat to Dave. We'll chat about 99 one day.
What? Hopefully, if we could. I've actually rewatched the game multiple times.
Yeah, just remember you can't talk about it on this podcast. If you'd like to listen to another podcast, please search for the Football Book Club, where instead of reviewing great literature, they review footballers' autobiographies like Chris Kamara's Mr. Unbelievable.
There's a goal at Portsmouth in there, Jeff.
That's what he does. We'll see you next time.
It sound right, boy.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.